Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning. The show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, which is actually your one-hour inspirational program. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 90 minutes tonight. We have a show that's a little bit different tonight, but nevertheless, it promises to be interesting. It promises to really be interesting, and I encourage each of us to really pay close attention to our thinking and our responses tonight. This is going to be very, very important. We anticipate a number of callers to be joining us tonight, and this is going to be an unusual show. And I must set this disclaimer out there first and foremost. All the opinions that are expressed on all of my shows, whether it's the Thursday night show, this show, or our spiritual shows, Friday nights or Saturdays, are the opinions, basically, of myself, my co-hosts, any of my co-hosts, our callers. We do not necessarily endorse any opinions, but we do respect all opinions. And we're not here as a political forum for debate on politics. We're not here for religious debate on things or interpretations of the Bible. We're not here for psychology advice or therapeutic advice or legal advice. The shows are basically for educational and informational purposes only. And anything outside of that, you should seek the appropriate professional in those areas. This show is basically for educational and informational purposes only, and we welcome all opinions, whether we agree or disagree. It's just simply your opinion and how you may interpret things, and tonight's show is no different. And I want to say with tonight's title, before I give you that, I want you to know that I am all my life is about believing in a higher power, God, Father, Creator, the great I Am. I believe in something greater than the human element of what we know to be man. I believe in a supernatural being, and I call him Father, I call him God, and I have always believed that, and I will continue to always believe in God, because I believe that there's something so supernatural that created all of this. No man like me with human form, unless it's Jesus Christ, that's part of the Trinity, could produce this, to create man in his own image, to create the sun, the moon, the galaxy, the stars, put it all together. So I'm a strong believer. I want you to know that. That's first and foremost. And I have no doubt in my mind, no doubt. Now, that's just me. And so when you hear tonight's topic and you hear certain scenarios, I just want to know what your thoughts are. And I can assure you, as Lady C gives out our closing tonight, and throughout the program, I can assure you that there will be a reiteration of how powerful God is. Tonight's topic is, if there is a God, then why is there blank, fill in the blank. Stay with us. Stay with us, and God will reveal. Let me go ahead and bring in my co-host this evening. I'm so excited about the show tonight. Let's begin with Lady C. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Hi, everyone. I hope everybody's having a good day. And I am excited to be here, too, you know? So, and I'm looking forward to what tonight's show is going to bring us.
All right. Well, great. At some point, Lady C, we're going to ask you to read for us Romans 8:28. You know, all things work together for good. We're going to ask you to read that at some point. Let me go ahead and bring in my other co-host, Sir Ben. Sir Ben, welcome to tonight's broadcast this evening. It's always a pleasure to have you as well.
Good evening. Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. I'm looking forward to a very interesting and yet thought-provoking subject. So let's go.
Okay. Sir Ben, to start out tonight, I want to, ask you the question first. So, Ben, are you a believer? Do you believe in God?
Yes, I am a believer, and I do believe in God.
Okay, so, Sir Ben, what makes you a believer? What makes you believe in God? Like, for me, I know that somebody like me couldn't do this here. I don't have that kind of power. So it had to take something supernatural and greater. That sun is so impressive to me. The moon, the ocean, I love all of this. So, you know, that kind of has me like, and then I see people that look like me, and then my children are born, I'm like, you know, they might have my ears or something. I'm like, okay, that could be my child. You know, mama's baby, daddy's maybe. But, you know, okay, she told me it was mine, so I believe her. So, well, I know Lady C going to come at me in a minute. I'm just going to brace myself. But what makes you a believer, Sir Ben?
Well, all the things that make up what we call life. I mean, not just life and except, but the existence, like we exist. We have the ability to move. We have the ability to see, to touch, to learn, to grow, to understand. And every day is a new wonder. Every day there's something new that I encounter or experience. And not just that, there's an incredible amount of miracles that happen on a daily basis in multitudes all over the world that, you know, that could not just have happened by circumstance or by just some amazing intervention that occurred. You know it was a true miracle because of the magnitude of how these miracles manifest themselves. So along with that and the fact that I understand that I could not have created such a complex being as me, as you, as other people that have different diversities, different ways of thinking and doing things, it had to be something of a greater magnitude other than us to be able to know that we are only just a small dot on a very, very, very large canvas and that he's still drawing the picture for it.
All right, excellent. All right, Lady C, let me bring you in and go ahead and hit me with the hammer quickly. You know, mama's baby, daddy's maybe. You can go ahead and hit me with that one first. And then after you do, tell me what makes you – first of all, do you believe in God? And if so, what makes you a believer?
Okay, I truly, truly, truly believe in God. You know, I truly believe him. I do not doubt he never existed or anything because I know he existed. I can't beat you up on whatever you were talking about because I kind of had an issue with one of my children. So I didn't hear what the beginning was. But
oh.
So I'm going to have to go with what makes me... So you would
have
saved my love on that one.
But, okay, and I'm not going to tell you. I don't know if Sir Ben want to tell you or not, but I'm not mad at him if he does. But
what
but I'm not going to tell you.
He did the mama's baby, daddy's baby.
Mama's baby, daddy's baby. I hope these dads out here claiming their kids. But what makes me a believer?
Yeah.
I mean, how, you know, every time I eat like an apple or orange, or I look at the sky, or I look at the trees and how they, and the wind, You know, like every time I look at an apple or orange and I see like one seed, as soon as I see the first seed, it just makes me think like this one seed just created another tree. And all the seeds inside of this apple just created multiple of trees, apple trees out there. Same thing with peppers. All those little seeds create little peppers, you know? So that's
right.
What made me think of God. It's like nature does it by itself. It's God that created the nature, you know? When we breathe the air, we're breathing what God created. You know, when we look at those trees move, and we're looking at ocean, all of this has been God's creation. So that's what makes me a believer. And perhaps in what he does to us in our life, like the visions and the dreams that we have that comes true. Who can give us those besides God?
Wow, wow. Excellent, excellent. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's just go to the phone lines quickly this evening. And we got some scenarios that will be coming at us as well. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to 407-862. Good evening and welcome to your one-hour inspiration program. Who do we have with us, and thank you for joining.
Good evening, Dr. Jesse and everyone else. This is Marva, Sister Marva.
Hi, Sister Marva. Thank you for joining us. Sister Marva, I want to ask you this question. What makes you,
yes,
do you believe in God? And if so, what makes you a believer?
Well, I was born in a church, in the church. Not in the church, but my parents were, you know, believers. And so I had to get my own God lessons from my life, you know, troubles or whatever I was going through. And he would answer. And also, it's just fascinating. The sky, the seas, the baby. When my baby was born, I looked at her. I stared at her like, "Where did you come from?" You know. But I believe in God because there is no human being that could do all these wonderful things.
Okay.
And
all right, we're going
to
ask you.
One thing I would like to say is that I did listen on your program last night, Dr. Jesse, and it was very lively and very nice.
Oh, well, thank
just
you. We
say,
certainly do.
That.
We thank you for joining us last night as well. Thank you so very much for your kind words. Okay, so tonight, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, and I want to set the disclaimer again, all of those on here, including myself, we have expressed that we believe in God. So don't be misled by the topic. I just want to ask some questions and get us to think and to show you the glorification of God. So tonight's topic is, if there is a God, then why is there blank, blank, blank? And, Sir Ben, I want to start out with you. And here's our first scenario tonight. There's a parent who prayed faithfully for their son. These parents prayed faithfully for their son to be healed of sickle cell. The child lived, but lived in occasional and constant pain. So, Sir Ben, if there's a God, then why weren't those parents' prayers answered, and yet their child lived in pain? Of course, in your opinion.
What were the parents praying for? Were they praying for this child's life to be saved? Were they praying
for they're praying for him to overcome the sickle cell so that he wouldn't even have to encounter that pain.
God is a God of, he knows everything. He knows the beginning, the middle, and the end. And so when God allows things to happen in our lives, There's a reason and there's a lesson. And a lot of times we miss the reason.
Sir Ben, you went out.
And so we miss some of those important attributes. of who God is and how God operates. God is not a God that guesses. He doesn't miscalculate. He doesn't come up with a plan that's just kind of, it may work, it may not work. No, he is very deliberate about what he does and how he does it. And so a lot of times we're praying for things, but there may be something in our lives that God needs us to shift or get right or change. And sometimes through hurt and pain, we change and we grow and we allow our mental way of how we pray, how we acknowledge God, how we see God to grow in us. A lot of times things that are happening in our lives are not predicated to the person. Sometimes it's for the other people who are praying for things. There's things that maybe need to be settled in our lives first. And sometimes our children are the best examples and the best mirror because we love our children just the way God loves us. And so sometimes he gave the ultimate price. He went through the pain that most of us couldn't even imagine a bear. But he did it. He did it. And so not only did he go through the pain and the suffering, he actually had to give his life. So who are we to question some of the things that we're going through? Yes, he may have had sickle cell. Yes, he may be having some pain. But he didn't lose his life. They could still touch and hold him. They could still talk to him. They could still interact with him. So sometimes just gratefulness is a great martyr for a lot of situations that happen. Maybe God needs us to be more grateful, and he allows things to happen. And I did say he allows things to happen to shift us from our carnal way of thinking into more of a spiritual and a way that he thinks and how he sees things.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Lady C, let me bring you in. How do you see that the parent, they prayed and the child is still in pain? And as a parent, I'm certain that if you have children, wouldn't it hurt you if your children are suffering or in pain? Wouldn't you almost want to take their pain for them?
I want to take it away from them,
yeah.
You know? I would want to take their pain away from them. But,
right.
You know, sickle cell is one of those little blood disorders that is inherited through the parents, you know? So both parents had to have sickle cell in order for that child to get sickle cell born. Had to have some type of trait of it, you know?
Okay.
So to see their babies suffer like that, that it does take a lot of prayer, and it does take a, you know, I would be asking God, you know, to at least ease his pain. But I believe sometimes pain brings us closer to God, you know? It does.
Okay.
Sometimes pain, I mean, a lot of people don't know God unless they're going through stuff, right?
That's what I've heard, too. I've heard that. Sister Marva, let's bring you in. I mean, have you ever prayed for something and it just didn't? Tonight, once again, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, if there is a God, then why is there blank, 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 question mark? And all of us on here that have expressed ourselves are believers in God. And we're here tonight, and God will manifest his glory. And I just know he will through this program. And Sister Marva, what are your thoughts? If there's a God, then why is that the pain and the parents are just wishing that they could take the pain, like Lady C said, but the pain is there, and you know, what purpose? What is that all about? This is a child. And maybe only one parent may have had to have been a carrier. I'm not sure if both parents had to be. So, Sister Marva, what are you saying?
I agree with Benny from the block, who everything he said was right on to me. But in the Bible, there's a story of a person that was blind, and the disciples asked Jesus, was this his parents sinning or him sinning that he was born blind, you know? That he couldn't see, and Jesus said, neither. It was that he was blind for the glory of God. So it might just be that God is trying to get across something to a family member or, you know, the person themselves with the pain. The sickle cell is no joke. It's no joke. They have serious pain all the time. And let me just add that sometimes you're praying and praying and praying, and you're praying amiss. You're praying in a wrong way, or you're praying for the wrong thing, whether it's the will of God or whether it's the will of man. So that's my thought.
All right, Sir Ben, let me bring you in. I heard what Sister Marva said here, and she's saying you're praying for the wrong thing, whether it's the will of man or the will of God. I would think that if I'm praying, you know, to ease the pain of my child who's suffering, how could that possibly, in your opinion now, and we certainly appreciate your comments, Sister Marva, but Sir Ben, how is that the will of man? You know, how can the will of man override the will of God, in your opinion?
Well, if you're ever in a situation where the will of man is overriding the will of God, then you're not in the will of God. You're in the will of your own self.
Yeah.
And so we have to come to an understanding about what is the will of God. And as Sister Marva was saying earlier, we know not what to pray for. That's why the Holy Spirit takes our prayers and transfers them the way they're supposed to be, and he gives them to God. He speaks on our behalf. And so a lot of times we're moving from carnal way of thinking to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, which is taking our prayers, translating them and transferring them to God. God, they don't really understand what they're asking for. And then, we have the Jacob letter effect going on. You know, prayers going up, God, my name is sending prayers back there. But the thing that we don't often understand is God wants us to be thankful in everything.
Right.
And
right.
I understand our children are, you know, they have sickle cell. I have a family member that has sickle cell, and I've seen him go through things. But the prayers was, thank you for his life, Father. Thank you for his ability to be able to cope and deal with this, Father God. Thank you for the doctors and the nurses and the practitioners and the people who are aiding and assisting and trying to make this situation better or coming up with medicines to try to alleviate these. Father, thank you for this. Thank you for another new day. Thank you for another new opportunity to be able to love and hold my son and my child, my daughter in this process. Thank you for allowing me to have the love that I need to show to this child. So there's so many thankful opportunities that we can engage in our prayers. And we're supposed to pray prayer of worship and thanks. Not, you know, we're not praying, you know, we're crying out for these prayers that, like, God doesn't understand our situation. God understands our situation better than we do.
Absolutely. Sir Ben, we're going to ask you to stand by and, ladies, see if you'll read Romans 8:28, and then I want to share with you all about personal experience with sickle cell. Lady C, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. Hold on, I'm getting it now.
Okay,
it says,
so while she...
I'm ready.
Go
it
ahead.
Says, and we know that God... It says, Romans 28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them.
Okay, and see, that is so brilliant. If you're just joining us, stay with us throughout the show tonight because God will reveal. Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. Be with us in the show tonight. Reveal yourself to us, O Lord, in the according to your will, grace, mercy. In Christ's name I pray and thank you, amen. And see, God will reveal himself through us tonight because all things work together for the good to those of them who love God and are called by his purpose. And this is so powerful. This is a powerful piece. If we could just believe that all things work together. Because, see, you know, with that pain, the little boy had the sickle cell. My own daughter, my oldest daughter, was married to a man that had sickle cell, right? And she knew this going into the marriage. She knew this going into the marriage. But lo and behold, my daughter wasn't as much involved into the Word of God. But she only had a short span of life with this man because he passed away. He's on the cover of my book. She's on the cover of the book as well. But as a result of that short span of time that they enjoyed in a marriage and to that union, they gave birth to one child, one son. And let me tell you, there's no trace of the sickle cell. And my daughter doesn't have a sickle cell, so that's why I say it could be just one carrier. And as a result, today my daughter is a minister because she says, Dad, I mean, just from that experience and a short span of marriage to him, it drew her closer to God. And now that's all she talks about. All she talks about. So all things work together. We don't understand, like Sir Ben said, we don't understand. But our ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. All things, we got to believe it. And see, part of pain is part of Galatians 5:22. It's a part of fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering. We'll be talking about that tonight. Let me, Sir Ben, you want to add anything to that? I mean, y'all might get me preaching tonight, and I'm just trying to remain calm.
You've covered, you know, there's a multitude of things that are covered, and you pretty much summed them up in those few words and statements that you said. You're absolutely correct, sir.
All right. Thank you. And we welcome you all to press 1 at any time. Give us your thoughts because God's going to reveal some stuff to us tonight that you may not have even realized. Another scenario. Lady C, we start out this one with you. Woman prayed for the man of her dreams before getting married. A man came into her life who fit the profile of her prayer. She was assured that God sent that man. After dating for 6 months, they were married. The marriage lasted only 18 months because he was abusive and controlling in so many ways that nearly caused the woman to have a nervous breakdown. Lady C, how do you explain that? If there's a God, she prayed and she thought he sent this man. But would God send her that man that's abusive and controlling that nearly caused her a nervous breakdown, Lady C?
I would say this. Sometimes we ask for things that we're not ready for, you know, and God do give us, the desires of our heart, you know. But the thing is, God gives you the desire of your heart to let you know, hey, I'm going to give this to you, but I just want you to know he's not for you. It's a lesson I need to teach you on him, you know, to get you prepared for the guy who I am going to bring to you. I was in a situation like that where I prayed to God for years to bring someone who I love very, very much back into my life. God gave me exactly what I wanted, exactly what I wanted. But at the end, when I realized he wasn't for me, I had to thank God because God had to force me to get over him by me going through certain trials and tribulations with him to realize now whoever God sends me now, I could be ready for them.
Excellent, excellent. Sister Marva, did you want to comment on that?
I think you were reading my story.
Oh, I'm sorry. All of these inspired by true events. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You read my story. I certainly did that very same thing. And at the time when this gentleman came into my life, there was a need. And everyone said to me, you know, he has come. He is your blessing. But we spent 9 years together, but I would ask myself, where did I go wrong? Why did not I see that in the beginning he wasn't right for me? But all things work together for good to them that love God, because he was a blessing in my life and in our family's life before he exited.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Sir Ben, let's bring you in. And Sis Marva just shared with us that this was her story. And Sis Marva, you're not alone. There are millions upon millions of people who go through that same thing. And people tend to give up hope. They tend to give up hope. And they want to blame God. But Sir Ben, would you let the people know it's not God's fault? But because all things work together, it's a journey. It's a path that he's leading us to that gives us, I mean, Sir Ben, I'm not going to even preach it. I'm going to let you bring it in. Go ahead.
So I always say we have to remember that God is not this mean, ugly guy who wants to just strike us down and just do these horrible things because we do wrong. No, he is actually more interested in our well-being, in our growth, in our ability to love. He created all these things from the beginning. He created us to be able to be with a male and a female and to have a relationship. He said that's why he said be fruitful and multiply. All these things were designed from the beginning before he even ever made man. So a lot of times we get to a place where we want what we want based on what we have fantasized or we've looked at it and said, oh, I want a man tall, dark, and handsome. And there's probabilities that God has been sending you your perfect mate, but because he didn't fit the criteria in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, you overlooked it. And so God is saying, look, I'm sending you some clay. All you got to do is just get the clay, take the clay, and I'm going to mold the clay to be all those things that you want to have. But clay doesn't look like a vessel when you first get a lump of clay. It has to be molded. It has to be spun. It has to be developed. And so we don't want to go through the development process. We want to just go ahead and buy the vessel already made perfect the way we want to be. I promise you, in every perfect vessel, there's cracks inside that you can't see. And so when those cracks start to materialize, we fall apart. Because, oh, I thought he was the perfect gentleman. No. You picked an imperfect vessel that produced imperfect results, and that's what happened. God allowed that to come by you to say, is this really what you want, or are you going to take what I have to give you?
Wow. Well, you know, and if
every,
I may just
in
add.
In every situation, if you listen to every person that talks, myself included, you, we always say, and just listen to our words. Words are very, very powerful. I ask God to send me this particular type of person. I ask God to bring this particular person back into my life. It's almost like we're giving God directives, and that's not asking God, that's directing God. And God goes, oh, okay. That's what you want?
Wow. I'm going to encourage you all, when you get a chance, look at the King James Version of and read, because see, it tells us about we look through a glass darkly, but then eventually, because we don't understand, and then eventually we will understand, because this, all of this is, it's a journey that we're on. It's a ride that we're on, and part of this ride is you got birth, and then you have, you know, you have life, and you have death. You know, it's a journey that we're on. We're traveling, almost like pilgrims. We're passing through. And then it's like a big story. It's a big story. And God is the author and creator of it all. But if you lose, and see, the enemy is out there also. And the ploy of the enemy is want you to have doubt, to have doubt, to believe in a half-truth, like he got Adam and Eve. And says, okay, well, God knows that you will surely not die, but your eyes would be opened. That was a half-truth. You know, he wasn't all wrong, but he wasn't all right. But then how do you go with a creature that God made versus the creator who gave you instructions? So we have got to learn to trust God all the way, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the situation is, and say, listen, if there is a God, why is there pain? Listen, all things work together for the good. You know, and I discovered when my mother was killed in a car accident and my niece in the same accident, and I'm struggling with this. And I say, God, I'm just going to learn to trust you continuously. I'm going to continue, actually, to trust you continuously where I can't trace you. I don't know drugs. I don't know alcohol. All I know is you. And God, and when I had to preach those sermons, it was the most difficult thing that I've ever had to do. And then from that, I preached 5 other family members' funerals. And I've come to learn that death is a part of life. And it's just that that's not the end. That's not the final. That's not the grand finale. The best is yet to come. Stay with us. We got a lot to cover tonight. We've got several more scenarios, and we want to hear from you all. Just press 1 on your dial. Lady C, have you ever experienced where you're like, you had some reservations or some doubts because you're saying, well, God, I've been asking you for this. It could be a car. It could be a jacket, a suit, anything. Have you? And then what gave you the hope to come past that?
Well, the relationship I was in, it was the one that I had the doubts for, and I had to ask God, was it you or was it the devil that was playing with my emotions? Because the guy I kept asking for and begging for, God was sending me signs, dreams that he was bringing them to me. And it was like if he was really meant for me. And I thought this guy was 100% mine, my love, the guy I was going to grow old with, everything with, you know. And then it started wondering when things started unfolding, it was like, okay, God, was it really you who sent me these visions or was it the devil? Because... I mean, I literally had to question God because it was like, you won't send, I didn't see you as being a God that's going to send me something that's going to hurt me to the core, you know?
Right,
that's
going
to destroy me, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
So,
Sister Marva, go ahead, finish your thought.
Oh, no, I'm done.
Okay, Sister Marva, let's bring you in before we bring Sir Benny in again. And Sister Marva, I mean, have you had some doubt and say, well, God, how long I got to go through this? I mean, it's just like Paul in the Bible. He had a pain in his side, and he asked God to remove that pain from him. And God told him, my grace is sufficient. I mean, Sister Marva, before you come in, let me ask Sir Ben. Sir Ben, you paying for him for this pain, and God says, my grace is sufficient. What does that mean?
It means that he's already supplied everything you need, and the pain is just not even a factor. He's already supplied you with all you need. When he says, my grace is sufficient, that's the whole story right there. That means you ain't got to worry about nothing else. It means even when you fall short, I got you covered. When you don't even know what to do, I got you covered. When you make a crazy mistake, I got you covered. So that's the whole story. When he said, my grace is sufficient, that's the whole story. That's when you put that exclamation mark, the period, and you close the book.
You know, Sir Ben, I appreciate that message and sermon tonight because I had to go to the doctor today. I traveled to go to my doctor down south. Travel, right? And the doctor didn't even put his hands on me, but I had prayed. God, I got this pain in my side like Paul. And I'm saying, and it was almost as if God, the doctor didn't even put his hands on me to examine me. And I'm saying, what the daylights is this? You know, I came down here because I got a pain in my side, all of this traveling all the way down here, and then I got to come back. I got the show tonight. God, come on, man. Can you give me a little, can you take the pain away? And it's as if he said, my grace is sufficient. And with what you just said tonight, Sir Benny, it's like, I got you. And the doctor looked at my blood work and he said, you know what? He said, hey, that's a mystery. We can't figure that one out. You see? And so it's I needed to hear what you just said because God says, if you've got the pain, boy, I got you. So, Sir Benny, we appreciate that. I mean, what else do I need to do?
Keep on trucking, baby. It's a journey. It's not a destination. It's a journey.
It's a journey. There you go.
We confuse a journey with a destination. A destination means you got to where you were trying to get to. This ain't about that. This is a complete journey. We're gonna continue journeys.
That's it, man. I appreciate you being with us tonight because you and I together, we got to give these people some hope tonight. Lady C, we bring you in here, since Marver and whoever else, somebody needs to testify tonight on this broadcast, because if there is a God, we're going to be taking that word out if, because we know without a shadow of a doubt that there is a God. Somebody needs to testify tonight, you know. Let's go to 754-217. Somebody needs to testify. Who do we have with us?
This is Althea. How are you?
Althea, we're doing just great. To God be the glory. Althea, what's on your heart tonight? Do you believe in God, Althea?
I do. I surely do.
Okay.
Should I just go on? I thought you were going to ask me something else.
No, that's okay. What are your thoughts? What are you thinking? What makes you a believer, Althea? And then you got a testimony for us? I mean, one that says, my grace is sufficient?
Yes, Dr. Jesse. So let me begin by saying, yes, I do believe in God. However, I was very, very upset with him because my husband became very ill. He had ALS. And although I read up all the information about it and that he would have a short time to live, I just thought that because I'm praying and everybody's praying for him, he'll be okay. He'll have a long life, longer than the 5 years that they have given him. And it broke my heart when he died, prior to the 5 years, and I just couldn't understand it. After all this praying that we did, yet he was taken from us. And I had to get to the point where I had to realize it was not about me. This has nothing to do with me. It's not me. If he had continued to live in the stage that he had gotten to for a longer time, then what kind of life that would be for my husband? And I had to wrestle with it, along with my children, to realize that there's a purpose for everything. And he had to leave us for something that we don't know, but it was his time. And he did go peacefully. And we had to come together as a family and pray even more. And get to the point where we say, you know, Father, forgive us, because it was really, really hard. We just thought that we failed. We failed. We didn't pray properly because he was gone. But due to help from others, we realized that God knows what's best for us, and we can't question him. Just as someone is given life, they're going to lose it at some point. And what we need to do is prepare ourselves that when that time comes, we will be ready.
Awesome, awesome. And, you know, Althea, we're sorry for your loss. And yet, you know, as ministers get up and they say words of comfort and they say God always knows best, and times like those, you never really know what to say. I just did a funeral last week. And I had to let the congregation know, you know, in times like these, you really don't know what to say. But it comes down to really trusting God individually, because when everybody's gone, when the families are gone, the last friend has gone home, and you're there all alone in your darkest moment, you know, when you're saying, God, why? And you're crying and everybody's gone and you feel it the next day again and the next day again and again. And then you begin to realize, that God brought you through 10 years. God brought you through 15 years. God brought you through 20 years. And it's been over 25 years since my mother and niece were killed in the car accident. And I said, for some reason, I look at that hope that she was supposed to have dinner with me that evening. I was always last child that she come to see, you know, for the dinner. And that was the grand finale. But lo and behold, I began to realize as the years passed there's going to be a family reunion unlike any we've ever had before.
Yes, indeed.
You know, and the songwriter tells us that how sweet it to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and the joy that he gives. Oh, but greater still, the calm assurance we can face uncertain days because he lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. And life is worth a living just because what? He lives.
He lives.
And you see, we're talking about because God lives. There is no doubt. There is no doubt. I know tonight our topic is, if there is a God, then why? ... And Althea, we are so thankful that you shared that with us because, see, you know, our hope is that one day your husband, you'll see him in a totally different form, unlike you've ever seen him before. You know, ladies, let me bring you in here. Because he lives, who is he? Who are we talking about, Lady C?
We're talking about God and Jesus.
Yes, yes. That's our hope.
You want to take it?
That's our hope. So, Benny, can you live because he lives? You can face tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. And, you know.
You don't want to call?
Those are two powerful stories. See, we see death as like an end, but it's not an end. It's just the beginning. And so God said the last great sin that he's going to destroy is death.
Right.
There will never be death again. That's going to be the last thing he's going to finish is death.
That's the last enemy of man. That's the last enemy of man.
Yes.
Somebody on the shout.
That's it. And so if we know that death is just the absence of life in the body, but we're going to live forever. We were never supposed to die. We were never supposed to die. So if we could just think in our minds, hey, we were never designed to die. We were designed to live forever.
Never.
Because of sin, death was introduced. So when we're looking at our loved ones, and thank God that we can look at our loved ones. You know, I was in prayer with you when you were telling your story. You know, it's such an amazing story because you were able to spend time with your husband. You were able with your children to go over stuff, to talk about stuff, to connect with stuff. You know, some people can live a whole lifetime and never get that kind of connection that you had. They spend a whole life. The kids grow up, they don't really ever get to interact and fall in love with their parents and see their parents love their loved ones. So God allowed you all to have a special love and a bond in his sickness. So he was so just, I can imagine your husband, he probably forgot he was even sick to know that this, my wife, my children, they're here praying for me. That means that we were connected. And what an amazing story to know you had time to connect with the loved one, the love of your life. Oh, that's a wonderful story. That's a wonderful story. Everybody don't get that opportunity.
No, they don't. They really, really don't. Oh, my goodness. Somebody needs to testify. I mean, Sir Ben, I mean, this is beautiful. You know, if there's a God, then why is there? God is manifesting his glory through this program tonight. If you all can't see it, you're missing something. You're missing something. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to the phone lines once again, 561-396. 561, somebody needs to testify. 561-396. Hello and welcome. Who do we have
evening,
with us
this
evening?
Jesse. This is Beverly of Lakewood. Good evening, everyone.
Beverly. Good evening, Beverly. Beverly, I mean, you got a testimony for us. I mean, do you believe in God?
Yeah, I got a lot of testimony about the goodness of God. But, you know, as I think more and more about what is going on in the world today, I think about people who are not as strong in their faith, even because the Bible said the just shall live by faith, right? But there's a lot of people whose faith are shaking right now. Not only that, because they have lost so many people, so many loved ones, but because you have job situation, homeless situation, hunger, so much things going on in the world, hate, all that type of stuff. How do you, like, strengthen someone who is already weakened in their faith that just hold on because God is God, God is good, God's going to work it out? It's not easy, you know, and I can see a lot of people in the world, you know, the enemy is tempting, and they're not going to be able to withstand because they're going to say, if God is in this, then, you know, where is he? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why, you know, help me out here. What do you say to people like that?
That's a very good point, and that's why I'm hoping that we could send messages to people to reach out. And see, that's where your faith needs to grow, in my opinion. And we're going to get some of the opinions of the others. That's where your faith needs to grow, because it's like the very things that you don't understand. You, because remember, God says, my ways are not your ways. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not our ways. His thinking is as far from our thinking as the east is from the west, the north is from the south. Yeah. But it's just that all things work together. And then when we begin to, we don't understand it now. And that's why 1 Corinthians 13 is so important to us. If you read that tonight and you ask God to help you meditate upon that, you see, we're saying, if there's a God, then why is there this and that? And he's saying, y'all just children. Y'all don't understand. Y'all just a dot on my map. But you're the most important thing to
me. Can I just say one thing, Dr. Jackie?
Yes,
we
ahead.
Need to pray for the people who are not strong in their faith as we are. I've been through 13 years of hell. And when I say hell, I thought I was going to die going through. And when I reached like 7 years, was it like 7 years? The Lord helped me to move into a beautiful place. And then a year and a half, within a year and a half, I went home one day and I was locked out of the gate because they said my paperwork wasn't right. And so I had to go back again to Lodibar, you know, but thank God I had faith to know that this was not of God. This was of the enemy's doing, and I had the strength to hold on. But what do you say to people who they're saved, but they're not as strong in their faith to hold on?
I tell them,
do you know what that strength was? That strength was the grace that God has given you. He's given each of us a measure of grace. You don't have the strength to hold on. You said that. You said, I didn't have the strength to hold on. So when you say, I didn't, God has already said, oh, I'm activating your grace, my dear. Your grace. No matter what's coming upon you and you're weak, God says, I'm activating your grace. So wherever you're weak at, your grace abounds much. Your faith was in place, and grace was the one holding everything in place.
Amen.
That's it. And Sir Benny, thank you for joining in with me. And listen, let's build this together tonight, because we want to leave everybody tonight with hope that there is God. And see, the enemy knows, he knows when to come at you, almost at your darkest moment, at your darkest hour, to make you feel like there is no God. Remember now, he came at Jesus, the Son of God. He came at him and said, listen, after Jesus did a 40-day fast, 40 days, Jesus was hungry. He was thirsty. And the devil had him on a mountain and said, all of this, come on, help me, Holy Ghost, all of this will I give you. And Sir Ben, what did the devil tell him to do? If he do what?
Just turn him on the rocks and took bread. That's all he had to do. And worship me.
That's it. He told him, if you bow down and worship me. Oh, but come on, Holy Ghost, help me out here. He said, the devil told him, if you bow down and worship me, all this will be yours. And Jesus had to say, when Jesus was hungry, Jesus was human in his human element. And Jesus said, and then see, this is what we tell the people, Sister Beverly. You got to tell them that they got to keep trusting and keep holding on and just keep climbing up. Tie a knot in that rope and keep climbing up, but don't give up. Because even Jesus said, it is what? What did he say, Sir Benny? It is what?
It is well within my soul.
Yeah, and he said, it is written. It is written.
Oh, that's
it is
I'm sorry. Yeah, it is written.
That
man shall not live by bread alone. but by every word that proceeded out the mouth of God. That man shall not live by bread alone.
That's right. That's right. And that thou shall not, and he told the enemy also, that thou shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Okay? He had to put things in order. You're not my God.
Yes.
I'm your God. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Y'all going to get me in preaching, and I'm not trying to preach tonight. I'm trying to remain calm. Lady, see, let me bring you in here. I mean, that's what we got to tell the people. And, yes, we got to pray for them. We got to pray for them, and that's what this is all about, is giving the people some hope. If there is a God, then why is there this? Why is there all of this here? Because we don't understand. But we got to know, just like Sir Ben said earlier, the pain in my side, God got me. And I just got to keep on moving. Lady C, let's bring you in here. Lady C, how do you maintain it when you got frustrated with the guy that God, you thought he gave you? And I got an experience on that one, too. Love the woman unlike any woman I've ever loved in my life. And, oh, my goodness, help me. The woman says, I can't be married to a preacher. I don't want to be married to a preacher. And I don't want to be married to another lawyer. And I'm like, well, what chance do I got? Loved the woman so much, I had to make a decision. Do I, you know, give up ministry for the woman? God, I ain't never loved a woman like this. You know? Help me, Holy Ghost. So, I'm going to finish telling you all the story, but go ahead. Lady C, what did you do when you loved the man like you did and it wasn't the right one? What did you do?
Trusted in God. That's all I could do was trust in God and let it go. That's all I could do.
It wasn't easy, was it?
No, it's still hard to this day. But still got to trust in God. Because the plan God has given me is to give me a hope in the future and not to harm me. So, and he was harming me. Not physically, but emotionally.
Emotionally.
You know? So,
yeah.
I had to trust in God and realize, okay, God, you put him in my life to teach him this lesson, and you took him out. You made a situation happen so you could remove me out the way, so therefore I could see that he was more mistreating me and not respecting me in the manner you needed him to be doing for me. So God took me, had to create a situation to remove me, because he knew if I did it myself, I would have never done it.
There you go. Let me tell you, even with my story, I'm talking about loving a woman so much that you just, and you know what, God, forgive me. I know that we had been in the Garden of Eden and she said, here, boy, eat this. I just reached out and grabbed it. God, forgive me. That's when, you know, Adam had to love Eve so much. Good day. Help me, Holy Ghost. So I understand. But guess what? Guess what? I prayed for a sign and said, God, if this is the woman, show me the sign. And I say, if that sign doesn't come at the appointed time, then I got to let go of the woman that I've loved more than any woman I've ever loved before in my life. Because I can't. I got to make a decision. Do I love God more? Because she don't want to preach it. And that's who I've been called to. I've been called to this, and I've been chosen for it. And I said, you know, and I made the decision to choose God. And, you know, because with God, you never fail. And you know what? I'm good today. I'm good. You know? I mean, it hurt. Lady, see, I feel you. But God knew. I mean, it's like a test. Like in the garden. Let's go to the phone line, 786-319. Who do we have with us? And welcome. Thank you for your patience.
Yes. Hello, Dr. Walker and Lady C and Benny on the block and everyone on the call. How is everybody today?
Oh, we're just praising the Lord. Who do we have with us this evening? And welcome.
Oh, yeah. This is Sister Marjorie. I'm enjoying the show as usual. And, you know, I believe it's not an if. I believe that there is a God. And when you look around and see all the creation, you know, the day, night, you know, all the things that you have created and everything you have done, you know there is a God. You know, and, you know, as she was saying, thank Sister Althea, I think it is, for the testimony that she shared about her husband, you know,
yeah.
And I remember, you know, a lot of time we pray for a loved one, you know, and we pray so much, and we say, wow, what happened? They still went, and we pray so much. But I remember talking to one of my church sisters, and she said, a lot of time we pray, God doesn't answer all the prayers, you know? Some prayers, you know, like, it's not, it doesn't answer all. It depends. If it is in his time, he will. You know, but we still have to keep praying, though, no matter what. You know, because we know prayer can change things. So we just have to keep praying. But I believe there's a God, and I know that a lot of things, you know, a lot of times, I remember years ago I met somebody, and, you know, we were talking about the Lord, and he said, I don't believe in God. So you don't believe in God? He said, no. And he said, and I spoke to him, I said, so who do you think created the earth, the heaven and the earth? He said, it's scientific. I'm like, wow, that's what he said. I was surprised. I'll never forget that. He said, it's scientific. And I'm like, wow. You know, so everybody have their own belief, but I was surprised when he said that. You know, but every day I get up, I just thank the Lord. You know, I said, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I say, and nothing or nobody is going to spoil my day today. I always said that. And it's
awesome.
A few other little quotes I say too, you know.
All
but
right.
I'm enjoying
awesome.
It too, too. Thank you.
Excellent. Marjorie, thank you for sharing
You're
that
welcome.
With us. And stand by. Now, Beverly, let me ask you this one. Let's bring you in. Beverly, are you there?
Here,
Beverly, are you? Okay.
I'm here.
Here's a scenario. You know, the woman says, if there's a God, then why is there this? Single mom praying desperately for her teenage son to break away from a gang he's heavily involved with. The child ultimately was shot and killed. The mom is brokenhearted. Because
wow.
the boy never broke away from the game. What do you tell her, Sister Beverly? What do you tell her? She was praying.
Well,
she was praying.
The only
Sister
consolation
Beverly?
Anybody can tell her if she is a believer, because at this point she have to be a believer in God before all this happened. Because if she was not, then she's going to hate God even more. But if she's a believer, all that you can do in this situation is say, you know what? I don't know what you're feeling right now as a mother who have lost a son so violently.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, God is still God, no matter what. And he promised he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. So I just want you to believe through all this hurt and pain that God is still there. And somewhere, somehow, he's going to make it better for you. That's all I can
right.
say.
Right. And see, 1 Corinthians, and thank you for that, sharing that, Sister Beverly, because in 1 Corinthians 13, we got to realize that we don't understand now, but we will by and by. Sir Ben, don't we tell them that it's like you just got to trust where, you know, break that down for us tonight. Trust where you can't trace. How do you just got to trust where you can't trace? How do you trust where you can't trace?
Well, trust is a very, very important thing. When we were talking about trust last night, you know, we brought up some very pertinent issues. But trust is so vital. You know, a lot of people say, well, you guys, you Christians, you believers, y'all trust what anybody says, and look what happened to y'all, y'all get taken advantage of, and yada, 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 yada. But let me just say this. For a true believer, if you, and this is the word that we use, if you're going to be a true believer, be all in. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be kind of hot. Don't be kind of cold. Be all in. Be all in. Don't be on the fence wavering. Be all in. Trust all in. Trust that he's going to do everything he said he's going to do. He gave us a litany of promises that he would give to us. And he is, listen, let me share something with you that most people don't get. God just don't bless those that believe in him and trust him. God blesses everybody. He blesses the fools, the mean people, the evil people. You know how I know he blesses them? Because he wakes them up every morning. So there's a purpose and there's a plan for everybody, no matter who you are. He is not oblivious just to, oh, only Christian people get this, only, you know. No, he blesses everybody because he believes that everybody has a right to salvation. Everybody has a right to salvation. And only reason that you don't have salvation is because you choose to not have salvation. It is a choice. It is a choice that we make. God wants to save all of us, but we know that all of us don't want to be saved. And so he can't force us. If he forces us to do right, then guess what? That's tyranny. That's what the devil does. He forces us to do things that we know is not right. Oh, look, you don't want to do that. Because if you do that, who wants to be with those Christian people? They talk about it day and night. But, who wants to be with that? Go ahead and be in the world and let any and everything come your way. Any and everything come your way. At least we know over here, we might not have a perfect situation, but we know we have a situation that God is looking over. He's constantly shaping and remolding us. We're like clay. He's constantly Benny, your right arm got off a little bit, so I gotta make you all over here. Let me refashion you, okay? Okay, I'm gonna get you back to perfection. I'm gonna get you back to perfection. He is constantly trying to perfect us. We are constantly being perfected. And so we just got to trust everything that he's given us. Don't be consumed by the things of the world. Be ye transformed. Don't, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Keep your eyes on him, not on the things of this world. You know, it said we're supposed to be in the world, not of the world. We are just pilgrims here. We're here on the journey. This is not our home. Not yet. We're going to come back. It's going to be our home forever. So don't worry about what you see. Don't worry about the things that's happening. Don't worry about those things.
Right.
That's a trusting, believing Christian. Oh, so what? Coronavirus. Oh, so what? Nuclear war.
Right.
So what? Oh, well, that's the word we should use. When bad things
that's
happen,
right.
Oh, well,
that's right.
God, you knew about it. You made
that's
it.
Right.
You created it. So, oh, well. Let me ask you a question.
Right.
How do you think the devil got around to be who he was? He was created by God.
That's a good question. Iniquity found in his heart. That's a good question. Iniquity was found in the devil's heart because he wanted to be equal to God. He was already fourth in line, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then you had he was before angel, the archangel Gabriel. And that wasn't good enough for him.
He
wanted
was a covering.
To be equal.
He covered God. He was a covering. The chair said that he sat above the chair. He covered him.
Yeah. And then that wasn't good enough. He wanted to be equal to. But then God had another plan to say, how you going to be? I've set the foundation. Where you coming from? I created you. How you going to want to be? Somebody need to help me here. Help me here. Help me here. We're gonna go to 786-210 just before that. But you know, I want to say, listen, there's a book out. I don't know if this is the name of it, but a friend of mine introduced this to me years ago, over 20 years ago, and she said she read this book and she introduced it to me. I want to think that this. It in the book it talks about nothing but praising God for every situation, no matter what your crisis is, no matter what your circumstances are. But for every situation, you say, well, praise God for your situation. And when you begin to release that and you just praise him for the situation, you find peace. And I started exercising that. I started practicing that. And I said, this works. This seems to work. Somewhere in there, because we don't understand. And I just simply would say, you know, and I read the book. I can't remember the name of it. But it was, I would always just say, well, praise God for the situation. They tell me that, you know, you're not going to be able to work these hours. Well, God, I need the money, but praise God, praise you for the situation. And things always worked out. And, you know, when we talk about trusting God where you can't trace him, just imagine, you know, my four kids, they didn't understand me as a single parent, how we made it through with the food. I couldn't even cook, couldn't even do hair for my girls. But raising them from small children, and we're eating some of the same meal. I couldn't cook. Help me out, you all. Forgive me. But they survived. They made it through. And to this day, my youngest daughter says, excuse me,
She said, "Dad, I will not buy another hot dog in my house. We won't have hot dogs because they eat hot dogs all the time and baked beans." Okay, I did the best I could, but they're grateful.
Yep.
They are Dawson successful today, but now they call me up all the time. They didn't understand my ideologies as a parent. They didn't understand my philosophies as a parent. They didn't understand my methodologies as a parent. But lo and behold, they trusted me as their caregiver, as their caretaker. All of that, they trusted me. Somehow Daddy didn't have the money. But when they needed those supplies for school, by the next day, Dad had those there when they woke up in the morning because they trusted Dad. And so it wasn't until all four of them became parents themselves, then they say, "Now, Dad, I understand. I understand, Dad, what you went through on occasion, Dad." And we have dual spouses. We have a husband and wife in the home. But, Dad, we don't understand how you made it through. By yourself, it was the grace of God. And I said, if God can do it for me, he does it for everybody. You know, he does it for everybody. And so I say to you all tonight, if you're having doubt, you got to read 1 Corinthians 13 through. Because, see, we don't understand now, but that's where that trust comes in, as my kids trusted me where they couldn't trace me. They didn't know how the supplies were going to come, but they went to bed without those supplies. But by morning, the supplies were there. Help me, Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Let me go here, sir. Sir Ben. Give me your contribution here, and then we're going to bring in Lady C.
Ooh, thank you. I have a quick story. You know, my son just recently joined the military here, and when he went to get ready to go before boot camp, they quarantined him, of course, and one of the instructors had developed COVID, and as he was going to check on the young men, he gave that my son's squad, one of them COVID. So all of them end up getting COVID. So he had to be in quarantine an additional 14 days. And so, you know, when they're in that early stage of boot camp, they don't have any phones or anything. So they get a once, you know, chance to call home. And so my son had called his mother a couple times and she didn't answer the phone for whatever reason. I don't know why, but she didn't answer. And then he called me. And I talked to him, and I remember saying, "Son, you're going to do great. You're going to do well. You're going to do extremely well. Don't worry about this COVID stuff. Just look forward to what you're about to experience. You're going to go through boot camp. You're going to get some great friends. You're going to go come out. You're going to be a different man than when you come in." And those were the words I was speaking to him. And so what I didn't know, he told me this later. He said, "Dad, you remember that time I called and I couldn't get a hold of Mom, but I got you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Dad, I wanted to quit." He said, "Dad, I was scared. I was by myself. I felt like there's COVID and I didn't understand it." He said, "And then I didn't know what was going to happen. And here I am. I've been waiting. And then they tell me I got to go 14 more days and means, you know, confined to." He said, "I wanted to quit. I wanted to come home." And then he said, "But then when I called and I heard your voice."
All right.
This is what my
CEO
said. He said, "When I heard your voice."
That's right.
"It reminded me of who I was."
That's right.
He said, "I'm your son."
Wow.
"And it reminded him of who he was."
Right.
And he said, "That your voice, not what I said, your voice, Dad, gave me the strength and the courage to not think about wanting to quit, to not worry about the COVID, but to just go on my journey that I'd already chosen." He said, "Thank you, Dad." He said, "But it was your voice." And that's what we need to know. We need to be able to hear the voice of God, because
that's
it is
right.
A voice that gives us strength and courage to go on. When things are on us so heavy we don't know what to do, his voice gives us a comforting feeling.
That's right.
Comforting thought. I can do it, because his voice reminds us who we are in him.
That's right.
We are the kings and queens of God, the Father who created everything. So how can we be less than? How can we be consider ourselves to be weaker than? We are who we are because he designed us to be who we are. His voice reminds us of who we are.
That's right, and whose we are. Thank you for sharing that. Oh, my goodness, we got a live one here tonight, you all. 786-210, thank you for your patience. Who do we have with us? And welcome, welcome, welcome.
Okay, Marjorie Spicer.
Marjorie Spicer, thank you for joining us tonight. Are you a believer in God, Marjorie Spicer?
I cannot help but get to know him better for the deep intimacy and the experiences of miracles that I've experienced. Up to today, there was some happening, and it only God could have done that. So I have experienced the reality of a spirit of God, the spirit of God that I cannot see, but experience him deep down and see the impossible made possible. And that's why there's no other way I can turn but to know him better, but through grace and mercy. No good that I've done. I'm so imperfect, but I'll say what I could go on all day, so I'll stop there. Yes.
All right.
No.
Thank you.
Whenever I sit in life, it says God of yesterday, today, and forever. Mm-hmm. And whenever at times when I was wounded and really felt pain, I mean, different things, not just a belly ache, a tummy ache. I mean, rejection and a lot of bitterness. I said, Jesus, the sinless Son of God, have I suffered loss? There's just a tip of suffering I've been through. Jesus on the cross, he cried out to his Father and said, Father, why have you forsaken me? God did not forsake him, but that's how we feel at times. Where is my God? And then when we reach a depth of down in despair, as we hold on and decide to not let go, sometime we'll fight. I cannot tell you how, but in reality, we'll prove that he's God. He's there with us, who promised never to leave us and forsake. Jesus himself, he couldn't bear the cross. It was so heavy. And he says in his word, right throughout, if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. He says we should follow in his footsteps. And one day I said, Lord, I cannot follow in your footsteps. Your footsteps, I cannot. And as I opened the word of God to read, at random, I saw the words, you should follow in his footsteps. I said, Lord, well, your grace and mercy will help me. Grace and mercy, only through grace and mercy. So if we don't suffer, we cannot reign with him. Suffering and struggling is a part of the journey. It's a part of the journey. And it builds us either stronger or we'll weaker and strong. And once we decide to trust him, he's going to be holding us and keeping us and sustaining us to get through in the valley with us, to get toward, you know, traveling on in this journey. Yes?
Amen. Amen. Sister Spice, we're going to thank you for your contribution. We're going to ask you to stand by. Ladies, see, I got to bring you back in here. We've got a live one tonight. We've got about three or four more scenarios that we want to get through tonight. But let me just ask you this, because I often hear you say something all the time. You talk about speaking life into people. Why is that so important? And how do you do that, Sister Lady C? How do you speak life into people?
I'm going to give you an example. I had this customer come to me. This whole week, I saw this same guy two times this week. And he's trying to pass his driving test, but he keeps failing. And every time he failed, the first time he failed from seeing me, he failed multiple times. But the first time he failed from seeing me, he was doing all this cursing. He was just very upset. You know, he's an adult man. So I told him, I said, listen, I need you to cut this out. I need you to stop with the profanity. I said, because your anger is towards yourself for failing this test. I said, you got to change your train of thought. You got to tell yourself you're going to pass this test because I believe you're going to pass this test. You know? I said, you're going to get the book, which is a study book. It's a driver's license study book. I said, you are going to study that book, and I'm going to set you up another appointment. He was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get the book. I'm not going to study. I'm not going to take this test no more. This was my fourth or fifth time taking it. I said, no, 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 you're not going to tell me you're not going to do it, because I believe in you. In order to pass the test, you got to believe in yourself. So allow me to believe in you too, because I know you're going to pass it. I see it all the time, okay? I said, but I need you to believe in yourself. And he was like, you don't understand, you don't understand. I said, no, I don't understand, but I do know this. I know you're going to pass. I need you to believe it, you know? I said, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to go and get this book, because you're not going to argue with me. I'm going to get this book, and I'm going to set you up in an appointment, and you're coming back, and you're going to take this test. I set him up an appointment for 2 days after that. He came back and was so excited to see me.
You know? Amen. Yeah.
He was so excited. But then he failed the test again. So I had to let him know, this is just another failure, but you're going to get it. I promise you, you're going to get it. I don't want you beating yourself up inside. And he was like, you don't understand what I go through when I get home and I fail this test. I said, you got to ignore the noise. It's you that mean to pass the test. It's you that's taking this test. I said, if you have everybody in the back of your head, you're going to fail, because everybody's in the back of your head and you cannot concentrate, you know? And so
right.
I tell him, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to set you up with another appointment, and you're going to come back, and we're going to pass this test. So he said, okay. He said, okay, I believe you. We're going to pass the test. So I set him up with another appointment. He hasn't came back yet. So
that's speaking life into that person. And you know what? If he does come back,
amen.
You know, if he does come back, or when he comes back, because you've given him some life. You've given him life. Because he found someone that believes in him. Then that's why he came back recently. And then he'll come back again. And this time you can share the story of Naaman with him. Share the story of Naaman with him. Naaman had to go down 6 times. Sir Ben, are you there? Sir Ben. Naaman had to go down 6 times. Remember the story, Sir Ben? Naaman had to go down 6 times. He had this disease, and he went down the first time, came up like, wow, hey, I still got it. Went down, they told him to go down again, and went down again. Sir Ben, you tell the story, because I'm getting too excited.
Naaman was a king. Naaman said, I can go in any river I can, in any country I can. Rivers that were pure and had honey and milk and everything. Why do you want me to go in a nasty river? I already got a nasty disease. You want me to go in a nasty river? And you want me to dip 7 times in a nasty river? Not only do you want me to go in a nasty river, I got a little girl who's the daughter of a servant, a slave servant, telling me, no, it's got to be 7 times. So not only do I got to go in this nasty river, I got to listen to a little girl who's a servant to me telling me I'm the king what to do. Naaman had all kinds of things against him. But guess what? Naaman trusted in the process. Trusted in the process. So when Naaman went down the third time, she said, you got to go down again. You got to go 7 times. And Naaman said, you know Naaman was out there cursing. You know he was cursing because he didn't want to be in that nasty river. But he was obedient. And when he came up that 7th time, he was healed. Now, you want to talk about praise and worship? You want to talk about praise and worship? You want to talk about praise and worship? I believe that not only was Naaman healed, Naaman was transformed in his mind, in his spirit, and in everything about his life. Because he understood trusting. That
he
brother sure was worshiping Solid for years after that, for years. And so we should be so, we should be so grateful.
I'm telling you, and if you all want that story, it's found in 2 Kings 5:14. The story about Naaman going down 7 times. And I'm telling you, you got to trust God. And this was the man of God that God sent to help him out. You know what? I mean, it's just like, if you have any doubt, you got to go to these stories. You know what? We got several more scenarios. And Lady C, I know you're going to close us out in a few minutes. with if you think if tonight's topic, if there is a God, then why ... question mark. And by the time Lady C closes us out, we know that God has manifested himself, and she's going to leave us with some hope. Let me go with, let me just take a couple more of these scenarios, and we'll be quick with them. All right, the man for years has been doing everything he knows to do right by his wife and children. They attend church regularly. One night he got caught up at a local bar and became intoxicated and slept with the woman who became pregnant and caused major problems for his family. He pleaded with his Christian wife for forgiveness and another chance after this only one time that he got that one-night affair. In spite of his prayers and fasting, his wife divorced him, and now he's devastated. What do you do now? You know? So, Sister Marva, let me bring you in here and ask, after all of that, and did he bring it on himself, and why didn't God allow his wife to have mercy on him?
My goodness. That's a tough one. I'd like to go back a little bit where you said about trust. We ought to think about Job. Job in chapter 13 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust
him. Yet will
in
I
him.
Trust him.
And, and yes, the Hebrew boys, when they were going to be thrown into the fire, they said, our God will deliver us. But if he doesn't, that's okay.
Right.
You know? So we have to trust him with everything.
Amen.
With everything
Amen.
We have.
Whether he doesn't. God is.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, let me go back to that one, and thank you for that. You know, so the man didn't give, yes, he brought that on himself. And you know what? All is not lost, because if the man just tries and he shows, sometimes you can win that woman back. But sometimes we have to suffer to go through the consequences. It doesn't mean
Amen.
That God has abandoned us. We've got to go through the consequences of our actions, of our behavior, of our deeds.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read another scenario here. Family prayed for their loved one who contracted COVID. The loved one passed away anyway. All things still work together for good. Because
sometimes
God allows people to be put to sleep. He puts them to sleep because he knows down the road that it could be detrimental for a greater cause, for more. So God sometimes allows people to be put to sleep, you know, for the greater good, because all things work together for the good. Our final one tonight is a young woman lives in the project, and it appears to be a repeat of her own mother who raised her in the project. In spite of her dreams to never live there, life happened, and she has three children and never married, and is constantly praying that God will deliver her from that environment. Well, you see, we still, you know, she wonders, why am I still here? My mother lived in the project. It's a repeat. It's a redundancy. Sometimes these things come upon us, but we say why to God. When God allows us to go through the consequences, he's still there with us. So
Amen.
If you have any doubt tonight and say, if there is a God, then why? Then we need to turn that around and say, because there is a God, I know that I may not understand it now, but lo and behold, by and by, I will understand it clearly, because I can have hope. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Yes.
Lady C, we're out of time. Please close us out.
I'm
going to
say this, you know, no matter what we face in life, we should always trust in God with everything and us. You know, if it's good, if it's bad, and sometimes if it's ugly, and it leads to death. But I do want to say this right here. You know, I want to leave you with this right here. I lost my little thing. Hold on for a second. I'm going to say this. I'm going to go to Proverbs 3. It tells you to trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding, but in all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Okay?
Amen.
That's where I'm leaving you guys at.
Amen. Lady C, thank you all. Sir Ben, I want to thank all of you all for joining us tonight. I certainly hope and pray that this program has been a blessing to you as much as it has been to me. Listen,
yes.
Join us here next Thursday for the Dr. Just Walk Show. If you choose to bypass next Thursday, join us back here next Friday for another topic that you don't want to miss. You don't want to miss next week's topic. If you're going to miss one, you should have missed tonight, but you don't want to miss next Friday. And then, of course, that will be followed by our Miracle Prayer Day, that Saturday morning from 6:30 to 8:30. We've got a special speaker for you that you don't want to miss. Listen, until next Thursday or until next Friday, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, Dr. Walker. Good night, everybody. And thank you for the great show. God bless you all.
Everyone.
Okay, love you all. Bye-bye. Great show as usual. Bye-bye.